Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Before we look ahead to the readings for this Sunday, which is the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, I just wanted to mention that Friday, today, is actually the Feast of the Archangels. We often don't talk about the angels, and I actually want to say a little more on Monday's program. But for today, I just want to encourage you that today is the Feast of Saints Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael, and they really do exist. They're not just images. They have great power. And then on Monday, we celebrate the Feast of the Guardian Angels, those angels that are assigned to care for us. This is a truth. Take a look at the Catechism. See what it says about angels. But today is Michael and Gabriel and Raphael, and on Monday will be the Feast of the Guardian Angels. You have a guardian angel. You should learn who some of your companions are that God has sent to watch over us, to care for us. So I'll say a little more about that tomorrow, but just wanted to alert you today. There are particular readings if you celebrate the Feast of the Archangels Michael, Gabriel, and Raphael. If you look in a missal, you can find the readings for that particular feast today. But let's look ahead now to the readings for this Sunday, the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. The first reading is taken from the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 18, verses 25 to 28. Thus says the Lord, "You say the Lord's way is not fair." Oh, don't we often get ourselves into that kind of a posture where this isn't fair. Why did God do this? Why did God do that? Why didn't God do this? All that kind of thing. We end up saying the Lord's way is not fair. So the prophet Ezekiel says, "Hear now, house of Israel. Is it my way that is unfair? Or rather, are not your ways unfair?" Where are we unfair? We want to put blame even on God for things. Let's take a look at ourselves. Where are we unfair in our manner, our attitude, our decisions? When someone virtuous turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it is because of the iniquity that he committed that he must die. But if he turns from the wickedness he has committed and does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins that he has committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. This is Old Testament, brothers and sisters. God is saying if we turn away from our sin, he will forgive us and he will draw us to himself. As long as we're on this earth, we always have a chance to turn. And I hear so many people saying, "Oh, my life is too much of a mess. It's too far gone. There's no hope for me." When in reality, the moment we turn and say, "Lord, help me. Lord, I want to change. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done." The moment we do that, God draws very near to us. Please, please pay attention to that reality. Psalm 25, "Remember your mercies, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old. The sins of my youth and my frailties remember not. In your kindness, remember me because of your goodness, O Lord." Look at that again. "Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old." In other words, from the very beginning, God has had compassion on us. God has poured out love upon us and will continue. And yet so many times we reject, we deny. We say, "Your ways are not fair. Why did you do this?" We immediately attack the very source of all our help, love, forgiveness, mercy, kindness, generosity. We turn away. Why? because we're judging God according to our standards. God is full of mercy and compassion as long as we repent. You don't have to carry sin from the past. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. I will give you rest. Rest in your soul, your mind, your heart, your body. Don't carry regrets. Don't feel like it's too late for me, because it is not ever. The second reading for this Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Brothers and sisters, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any solace in love, any participation in the Spirit, any compassion and mercy, complete my joy by being of the same mind with the same love, united in heart, thinking one thing. Do nothing out of selfishness or out of vainglory. Rather, humbly regard others as more important than yourselves, each looking out not for his own interests, but also for those of others. Paul's trying to get the people to step outside yourself. Look beyond the confines of your own self. Look to the needs of others, and you're going to come to know a happiness and a joy that God will give. Paul goes on to say, have in you the same attitude that is also in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't say, oh, I'm the Son of God, therefore I'll just tell everybody what to do. That's not God. Though he was in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. In other words, to hide behind it. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. God emptied himself. This is not theological language, but he stripped himself, Jesus, in a sense of being God. He was God. But he stripped himself of that power and authority, and he became like us in all things but sin. God did that to save us. Can we not step down from our pedestals sometimes and reach out to save one that we might say they don't deserve it? Think about that. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you want to let pride rule your life, when you want anger or desire for revenge to rule your life, just say, Jesus, help me to be like you. And watch what he does. Matthew chapter 21, verses 28 to 32. Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders of the people, what is your opinion? A man had two sons. He came to the first and said, son, go out and work in the vineyard today. And he said in reply, I will not. I will not. Those of you who are parents, how many times have you heard those words? I will not. But afterwards, he changed his mind and went. He did what was asked. The man came to the other son and gave the same order. And he said in reply, yes, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did his father's will? And they answered, the first. Sometimes, you know, it takes us a little while to get there when God is asking something of us. But God pours out the grace, just like for this man, to change our mind and do what it is that God is asking us. And Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. Why does he say that? These are the chief priests and the elders of the people. These are the people he is addressing. And he says to them, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you because they're doing, quote, the right things for the wrong reasons. They're doing the right things because they want to enhance their reputation. They want the praise of the people. They want to be known and regarded and elevated and honored. They're doing the right things for the wrong reasons. Brothers and sisters, how many of us can get caught up in that? You do things that are good and you receive the applause of people, but is God honored? We seriously need to look at this, brothers and sisters, because we could grow so much more in holiness and in union with God if we did the right things for the right reasons. And I understand it's a process. Selfishness and self-centeredness, all that kind of thing, wreaks havoc with us. But if you just say to the Lord, Lord, help me to make my motive pure. In other words, whatever good I do, may it be for your honor and glory. If people praise me, if people thank me, blessed be your name. But if they don't, it doesn't make a difference. I will still serve because I want to serve you. I want to care for you, all of those in the disguise of the poor. But it's Jesus we're being called to serve. Do the right thing and do it for the right reason. Even if you have a battle within yourself, do it for the right reason. Lord, I choose to do this for your honor and glory. And if I receive any honor and glory for it, I will give it to you. I will turn it over to you. Because to you belongs all the honor and glory. You take that posture. You take on that attitude. Watch how near God draws to you and how much more he will use you. This gospel continues, Amen, I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God before you. When John, speaking of John the Baptist, came to you in the way of righteousness, you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes did. They weren't blinded and deafened by their own pride and their own greed. Yes, they were sinners. Yes, they needed to be converted and changed, but they were able to hear the truth. And then Jesus says to them, yet even when you saw that, you did not later change your minds and believe him, believe John the Baptist. You didn't. Why? Because you were so caught up in yourself and you heard John's criticism of you and you became blinded and deafened. Who's going to threaten my position, my honor, my title, my crown? I'm a holy man. People look to me. It's so easy, isn't it, for us to develop that attitude and to harden in that attitude. Where we want to be is, Lord Jesus, use me today. For the glory of the Father. May I bring you honor. May I bring you praise, Lord. That's all. That's all. That's simply all. If you receive recognition for what you've done, blessed be God. Thank God. But don't make that your goal. Make your goal the honor and the glory of God. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.